Scripture this morning is from Matthew. It is chapter 6. We begin in verse 5 and we'll read through 18. So Matthew 6, 5 through 18. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand up and pray in the houses of worship and on the street corners, so that everyone will see them. I assure you, they have already been paid in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. When you pray, do not use a lot of meaningless words as the pagans do, who think that their gods will hear them because their prayers are long. Do not be like them. Your Father already knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. If you forgive others the wrongs they have done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done. And when you fast, do not put on a sad face as the hypocrites do. They neglect their appearance so that everyone will see that they are fasting. I assure you, they have already been paid in full. When you go without food, wash your face and comb your hair, so that others cannot know that you are fasting. Only your Father who is unseen will know, and your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. Praise be to God for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Lord, in these next moments, the privilege that I have to share, help me to not goof it up. Would you really speak the truth to these people and help order my words so I do not confuse them? And for that, I give you great thanks. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. This morning is practical lessons in hanging around with Jesus. I personally think that's the greatest fun you can have in life. I've learned that over time, but the more time you spend just hanging out with Jesus and including Him in all that you do, honestly, I believe the more fun you will have. Great things will be accomplished too, and God will be honored. You see, Jesus has in mind for you the very best. And as we read these words today in our scripture about prayer and fasting, this is what God is hoping we will find. This is what Jesus is hoping we will find in these words, the very best. That way, when we have the best, you see, we'll be able to be His followers in a world that gets more confusing and more complicated every day. Now, you'll remember from last week, I had told you that today would be a continuation, but last week I let you know that if you were Jewish living in Jesus' day, there were three things that were asked of you. There was almsgiving, giving to the poor. We're talking about money. There was prayer. There was fasting. These were acts of piety. Piety is a real fancy word for simply the fact that you're a believer in God, that you're dedicated to believe in God. And so you practice these acts truly as a part of being near God and honoring Him. Now, fasting, as you know, is intentionally going without food. I'm preaching fasting this morning, and I thought, boy, this would be great homework for you. And then I remembered Super Bowl. No one should be fasting during the Super Bowl. And so, maybe tomorrow. But fasting, of course, is going without food. And in the context of the words that we read today, Jesus is saying, I slipped up. He said, when you fast. Remember, this is not an if, this is a when. When you fast, that will give you time, more time to pray. That will give you more time to concentrate on your relationship with Jesus. And so fasting is really good for us, and yet it's very difficult. If we're not fasting in the right way and for the right reason, this idea of having more time to pray, more time to work on our relationship with God, then we're going to miss out on self-discipline, but also we're going to miss out on being even more powerful in to God's glory in this world than we know. We fast, quite honestly, because we care for people and we love God. And this is just a reminder of how we do this. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they would teach that you needed to fast, and then they would go about doing it in a big fancy way so everybody could see. But like almsgiving that we talked about last week, Jesus is saying, do it in a way that it's so private that only you and God know. Barb and I have been blessed many times to go in on weekend teachings about the Holy Spirit. And one of the things in giving leadership for that, I would ask people if they would spend time in fasting and prayer. And so we'd gather together often to share rides, and we'd go places on a Friday. And I never knew. I never knew in that, in our van, if folks were fasting and there or they weren't. But that wasn't important. What was important is that they had already been doing that. There was no outward sign of it. They did it in private. You see, when Jesus talks about fasting, he says, you all need to look good when you're fasting. You have to look as normal as you can. The Pharisees, they would regularly fast Tuesdays and Thursdays. And because they wanted everybody to notice, because they wanted everybody to see how holy they were, quite frankly, the Pharisees looked a little shabby on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They would make themselves out to be tired and grumpy and hungry so that people would notice. God said, that's not a good thing. That's all the credit you're going to get, is that people will notice. I'm not going to pay attention to you with an attitude like that. Jesus, on the contrary, he says, when you're fasting, you should really look pretty good. You should look normal. You shouldn't forget to get do your regular routines before you go out into public on days that you're fasting. And so, gentlemen, that means that you and I should shave if that's what we do. We should comb our hair. We should get all cleaned up. Maybe we could use a little aftershave or cologne just to let everybody know that everything is normal. And yet we're fasting. Even if our stomach is rumbling a little bit, others are not to know. And ladies, in a similar way, when you fast, please just do the same things that you do regularly as you go out. Don't let anyone know by your appearance that anything is different about you. Look your normal best. Going about the things in your day. When Jesus spoke against the Pharisees, he wasn't condemning fasting. Oh, heavens no. Fasting is one of the spiritual disciplines. Did you see that in the prayers and the songs that we've sung so far today, that we do things for the Lord, and fasting is one of them? So Jesus is not speaking against the Pharisees for fasting. He's just laying it on them that they're making a big public display of fasting. All three of these, this spiritual discipline of prayer, this spiritual discipline of giving, this spiritual discipline of fasting, all three of them remind us of this primary relationship that we have to have in our lives, our primary relationship with God. All three of these opportunities to get to know God better, to serve the people of this world better, all three of them are going to ask us to give up something to gain something better. Now, if you haven't fasted for a while, and I hope God nudges you today that this would be a good practice for you, don't jump into it too much too soon. You know, if you're an athlete and you're going to go out for the track team, you don't go out there and run 20 miles the very first day. You run a little, and then a little more tomorrow, and a little more the next day to build up your endurance, to build up your ability. And it's the same way with fasting. Maybe you need to start with just one meal. And I also want to speak a word of caution to you. For health reasons, some of you should not be fasting from food. And you know if you are, and then find another way to fast. Maybe it's give up your smartphone for 24 hours and fast from that. But you need to begin slowly. You need to begin and then do it regularly. And then after a while, it won't be as much of an issue. While you're fasting, pray often. I always tell people, when you're fasting and all of a sudden you realize that Snickers bar is looking like a full 6-course meal or something like that, just stop for a moment and pray. And then when you're fasting, Jesus cautions us, don't make a fuss about it. Don't tell everybody in your family that you're fasting. You know, just go about it in a normal way. You see, when we do that, we keep it between God and us, then we open ourselves to what God wants to do during this time of fasting. You get a chance to pray more often and tell God how much you love him. You can pray and ask him for guidance in whatever you're doing. Maybe you need some other kind of food during the time of fasting, and maybe it's spiritual food. I love to read the Psalms. Other parts of the Bible. And then in time, then turn back to regular eating again. This is not something that is supposed to hurt you in any way or be harmful. This is truly something that will be helpful. So then turn back to eating food again, because you're going to need the energy to keep going. And in fasting, like the other two that we talk about, I want you to remember that your reward for that is never going to come from the people that are around you. Your reward for that will come right from God. So let's talk about prayer a little bit. How's your prayer life? Are you praying every day? Did you pray this morning? For those of you who have prayed already, are you going to pray again today? For those of you who haven't started yet, just one little short prayer isn't enough. I really hope that your prayer life is a constant thing. We're to pray without ceasing, it says, you know, in the scriptures. And that doesn't mean that we aren't doing everything else that's normal. What it really just means is that we have this attitude going on of praying. I've shared with you that I've learned to say amen a lot less than I used to. Because when you say amen, you're finished praying. And it's okay to be in prayer and then something else has to happen. And then you just take a pause, you know. And then you get back into it in a little while. And so I'm hopeful that you will be able to do that too. But here again, be careful how you pray. You can't do it in a public way. You know, the Pharisees would pray in church. They would pray on the street corners, and it was in those days you prayed like this. You raised your hands and you prayed. I love it when people raise their hands and pray, because you can tell they're really serious about what they're doing. But even if you do that once in a while, you don't do it all the time, because you don't want people to necessarily see you. And the Pharisees, that's what they wanted. You know, so if you ever have to pray with your hands raised, that's okay. It's okay. But don't do it so that people can see. Do it because you love the Lord. If you're praying so people will notice that you're praying, then you've got some work to do, you and God, so that you get it in the right place, in the right attitude, in the right perspective. We've heard from the scriptures today, and I hope that you realized when you heard it that the kind of prayer that God is talking about here is maybe in an out of the way place. It's not out in the middle of the throng. It might be in a special room in your house. Our previous bishop, In the condo that she shared with her husband, she set aside one whole room. That was her prayer room. And she would go there when she needed to. And as clergy, we would get scolded if we couldn't tell her when she asked how we were doing with our prayer lives. But she taught me a wonderful lesson, you know. There ought to be a place that is your place of prayer. Now sometimes, because houses and apartments and things don't have that many rooms, it may be a time of day that is the place of prayer. I learned very quickly, in being the only male in a household with three wonderful ladies, that if I was going to really find a quiet time alone, it would have to be early in the morning. And so then by the time we got together and shared breakfast and what have you, I had already had my prayer time. And so maybe your place to get away a little bit is a time and not necessarily a physical place. But Jesus teaches us that when you pray, don't waste your words. The pagans of Jesus' day, they would pray to their gods, all of them with small g's in front of their names. But they would pray, and they would pray the same prayer over and over and over again, as if the repetition of the words were going to somehow affect those gods with the small g. Now, mind you, our God with the big G doesn't mind repetitive prayers that have meaning, but to just say words over and over again, you and I call that babbling. We should be persistent in our prayer. Some of you have been praying the same prayer for years, for a situation, for a loved one, for somebody else, and don't give up. But don't just say words to say words. It's amazing, you know, the God who created everything that we can see and that we can't see, that knows every one of your thoughts, says pray with me and to me. And it's not that he needs to know, because he already knows. So why does he say pray? Oh, it's not that complicated. He wants to spend time with you. You're valuable to him. And he wants to hear from you. And he also knows that when we share our prayers with him, sometimes we have to do it aloud. Then a blessing comes to us. Answers come to us that might not happen if we don't spend time praying to him. Now, it would be a pretty safe bet in this gathering to say that 9 out of 10 of you have memorized the Lord's Prayer. Many churches include it each week in the liturgy of the worship service, and that's a very good thing, but it does have a little danger to it. You see, when we say the Lord's Prayer over and over again, sometimes we're just saying words and we're thinking about something else while we say them. There's danger in prayers that become too comfortable. Jesus never intended for the Lord's Prayer to be repeated in every worship service. Some of you may be hearing that for the very first time, and I don't mean to rain on your theology, but when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, Jesus gave them a pattern of how to pray. I think he's pretty surprised that even after this so many years, we're still saying the Lord's Prayer so often. Now, mind you, the Lord's Prayer is an absolutely beautiful, powerful prayer. And don't give up praying it. And we won't in this worship service either. But can you train your mind that when we say the Lord's Prayer together, can you turn the world off? You can turn it back on when we're finished, but will you turn the world off and then pray the words and listen to them and really mean what you're saying? So this morning, let's take a look at the Lord's Prayer. We say, Our Father in heaven. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. We are part of a family. And when we... this is one place where we realize that more than others when we pray this prayer. We're together, you see, with believers all over the world that pray this prayer. He's a powerful guy. His name is Terry Teichel. He's a Texan, but I don't hold that against him. And he's started a movement of people that will pray the Lord's Prayer at noon every day. The local Christian radio station, I listen to it every once in a while on the internet. They stop their programming at noon and then they pray the Lord's Prayer. Terry's hope is that there'll be a million people that'll pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. You see, in Jesus' day, it was important to know somebody's name. And because if you knew their name, you held them in high esteem and in high regard. And you and I, we're allowed to call God Father, our Father in heaven. We say, hallowed be your name. And this is just quite simple. It means that God is high and he's lifted up. He's greater. He's greater than anything. We say, your kingdom come, and this is the spiritual reign of the Holy God. Oh, if you and I would help more and more people realize that when they pray, when they say the Lord's Prayer, we're asking that God's kingdom would come upon them personally. Oh, how the world would change if we could help people understand that. You see, the kingdom came when Jesus came. And the kingdom resides in the hearts of those who believe in Jesus. If we say, your kingdom come, it reaffirms our belief that one day Christ is coming again. And all of evil will be done away with by the mighty hand of God. God will establish a new heaven, a new earth, and his glory is going to be known throughout all of the nations. We say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so how does God accomplish things on earth? For a large party accomplishes them through you. Through you. But in that saying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then there's a commitment that you and I need to make on our part, a commitment that we'll be a part of it, we'll be a part of doing this. It's a hollow prayer if we say that and we think we'll leave that to somebody else to do what God wants us to do. And so it would be really sad for God if his people were willing to say this line of the prayer but never make the commitment to be personally involved. What we really need to be saying as a part of this and thinking about this as we say it in the prayer is, God, choose me. God, I'll do it. Give me the tools. Give me the ideas. Give me the places. But let me be your servant. Let me do it for you. We say, give us this day our daily bread. Do you remember the manna? You know, the Hebrew people needed food, and they asked for bread, and God said, okay. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, look outside your tent flap and see the manna. It'll be there every day. There was manna all over the ground. It would disappear like the morning dew, and so you needed to get up early, but you could take as much as you wanted. If you were a little more hungry today than yesterday, you could take as much as you wanted. And it's a reminder that in the business of the manna, that we rely on God for today, what we need for today. Oh, we can think about tomorrow. We can plan for tomorrow, but don't worry about tomorrow, because God will provide for you today. In the play and the movie Godspell, there's a beautiful song as Day by Day, and this is the line that always kind of rings in my head about daily trusting God. The line goes, "Oh dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly. And then we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Some places use sin, some sins for the word. Some use debtors and debts, and they all roughly in the original language means the same. If you and I expect to be forgiven, then we need to be forgivers. Forgiveness is complicated, and yet it's very simple. Forgiveness is a blessing for us to give away as well as receive. And it's simple in that God is asking us to do it. He's the power behind it. How do you forgive someone who has done something to you that you can't seem to be able to forgive them? Oh, let God do it through you and in you. Sometimes our own strength isn't enough. Sometimes our own will isn't enough. And we pray this, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is always the direction that God's heart wants you to turn. And we say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Greek word that's used for temptation here is testing. Now, this is a little bit of interesting wording here because God will never lead you into temptation, ever. He won't. He doesn't do that. But let me tell you, as you already know, there's temptation all over this world for the strongest of believers. There's temptation all over the place, and so from time to time we get tempted, and God allows it sometimes. Why? So that you can be tempted, and with God's help you can resist it, to build up your character, to help us to learn to depend on Him more and more. And how God does that is different for every single person. In this business of almsgiving, of prayer and of fasting, it's a little hard with our human vision to see this in the right way because we don't have God's complete perspective. But you see, what we're doing in these three spiritual disciplines is we're involved in a spiritual war with the forces of evil. And when we practice these three, Satan loses. And he loses every time. Jesus has never, ever lost a battle with Satan. Sometimes in our world, we look with our human eyes instead of our spiritual brains. But always remember that Jesus wins every time over the forces of evil. So there's one final thought I want you to understand about this, and that's in this business of forgiving sins, because it says if we don't forgive, then our sins won't be forgiven, and that's true, but we're not talking salvation here. I don't want anybody to leave here this morning and be confused. Your salvation has nothing to do with other people and has everything to do with the Holy God. We continue to sin even when we give our lives to Christ, when we become believers in God, simply because we live in a fallen world. And so don't let somebody tell you, well, now you've done something, that you've fallen out of place with God because of this particular thing that you've done. When you recognize that, then go ahead and repent and ask for forgiveness for it, but that's not conditional on your salvation. Your salvation is conditioned on, do you believe in Jesus the Christ? And have you made him the Lord of your life? So my real prayer for you this morning is that you might take up these practices. If you don't do them regularly already, a lot of things in God's kingdom that if we will but try, we will understand how sweet and rich they are. And when we practice them, how good we will get at them. Not for our shininess, but for God's glory. Pray with me. Lord, help us to take on these spiritual disciplines in our lives so that we might know you more, that we might do more for you in this world and allow you to have the glory. Allow these three to be blessings in our lives. We give you great thanks. In the name of your Son, we pray.